B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
As promised, right back to your phones. Alan in Florida on that, development today in Major League Baseball. What do you think, Alan?
Yeah, but before I start, I just want to say I did two of those character breakfast stews. Oh, my God. Oh. Those are the worst. I mean, I stayed at that Grand Floridian when it opened. I didn't like it. It's certainly not the Bellagio, I can tell you that. Anyway, I'd like to know what a concierge is going to do in Disney World for these guys. I'm going to tell you, Maz, I got an offer for you.
Go.
$500 to your nearest charity. All you have to do is buy me a cup of Legals clam chowder if they don't play baseball. You know, Mike, I respect you, especially after you started in with that disgusting, nauseating flag the other day, that Confederate flag. But I think you're smart enough to know there's no way baseball's going anywhere, because what are these stations like NESN and the YES and all these networks, what are they going to do in the summer when people are watching reruns? So baseball, and they know it, is going nowhere. You know, maybe the people aren't going to like it, the young people aren't going to like it so much, but it's going nowhere. They're going to reach an agreement. I think it's for a fan like me, 60 or 65 games is ludicrous, you know. It means nothing. Look at Washington last year. Look at the Dodgers a couple of years ago. You know, they would have been in last place after 60 or 65 games.
Would you rather them not do it?
What'd you say?
Would you rather them not do it?
Yeah, I would. I would rather than 60 games, because I'm a purist, and I think the season means nothing.
Okay, well, I'll cut you off there. I'll take the 60 games. I think there's a chance to be interesting if the players are invested and give an honest effort. I think it would be fun. And, you know, if it's not in the integrity or purity of the game, I can live with that. Because the integrity and purity of the game is kind of blows, frankly, Alan. No offense. So I'm okay with the 60 games. And he's right about the sport going nowhere. I mean, there is the need for that content in the summer. And all these regional sports networks, never mind the networks owned by the team. I mean, as long as John Henry owns NESN.
Yeah, they're gonna force it through.
And by the way, you know, Major League Baseball just came to an agreement for another big rights deal with TBS to broadcast LCS games, another $1 billion, $400+ million a year. Which
is crazy.
Is to me, like, I don't, the numbers keep going down, the ratings keep going down, the interest is plummeting, Alan, you know, all due respect. Like, we have three baseball callers and you're one of them, and the rest again, on the older side of the demo, let's just say that, and it's like they keep signing for more money. So the financial state of the game is fine. I mean, they make their money, they make their revenue. I don't quite know how, because it doesn't hold the same place in our consciousness as it once did. It's not even close.
No, and, you know, I still believe that there is a day of reckoning coming for baseball, and I don't know when that is. I mean, but when all the older fans, you know, and I don't mean, as you would say, I don't mean to be crass, but when all the older fans die off, what are they going to be left with? And then there's going to be a massive hit somewhere in there, unless all those young people get older and somehow like the slower game, which I doubt. So, to me, I'll take the 60, 65 games. Whatever it is, I think that has a chance to be entertaining. And if it had been a 60-game season last year, I think the Red Sox would have made the playoffs. Let me rephrase. I'm sorry. If it had been a 16-team field, the Red Sox would have made the playoffs. And so expanded playoffs helps the Red Sox. Shorter season helps the Red Sox. If this thing goes off, you know, the baseball season in Boston, at the very least, get a little more interesting.
So their demos absolutely suck, and it has to catch up to them. The general TV ratings in baseball are good. They are. Like, when you look at households, the household number, both for the Red Sox on these regional networks for a lot of teams, is good. The national ratings are, you know, decent. But when you look at the demos, they blow your mind. Like, the younger demos, and when I say younger, I mean just
30s, right?
18 to 49 or 25 to 54, there's a massive drop-off. Once you start getting guys under 65 years old, the baseball viewer is by far the oldest in all of sports, and it keeps going up. But I looked this up the other day, just to give you some indication of where the you know, viewership has fallen. And I picked 1986 because it's a year, you know, near and dear to your hearts. Baseball was king and the Red Sox were in the World Series. The World Series that year did a 28-6. That was the rating, okay? National rating. The national rating was 28-6, 28.6, and it averaged 36 million viewers. Last year's World Series did an 8-1 and averaged 13 million viewers. So just, I mean, do the math. You know, you've lost two-thirds of your audience there. And yet they still, like, those rights fees keep going up. So go figure. Kenny on the Cape on Mike Gundy in Oklahoma State. Go ahead, Kenny.
Yeah, Oklahoma State should be glad Gundy didn't ever leave for a better job. And while this might hurt him in recruiting, Oklahoma State isn't an Ohio State or even a Texas where you're really in the spotlight. And I don't know how much college football you guys get down on, but Feinbaum's an idiot. He's just pandering. Thanks, guys.
Okay, well, so wait, Oklahoma State is lucky to have Mike Gundy? I think we're going a little too far in the other direction, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say if he had been competing for national titles or something, I would say yes. But if it's just to have a half-decent program, I think I can find someone to do that without being an a-hole.
They're Oklahoma's bitch, and they have been. I think Feinbaum gave you they're like 2-13 versus Oklahoma in his time there. So, I mean, I'm not sure what great shakes Mike Gundy is as a coach.
Exactly.
You know, so let's not go too far in the eye. I just think it's silly, though, to fire a guy over wearing a T-shirt of a cable network. I think that's just a scary precedent. Harry in Swansea on Kyrie Irving. Hi, Harry.
Yeah, how you doing? First of all, I got to say something about one of my favorite brands that just got discontinued, Aunt Jemima. I mean, all of this left-wing stuff, and I'm in the middle, kind of. You gave it to Aunt Jemima. I was brought up on that.
Okay, but hold on. I think that's okay, meaning I don't find that to be an outrageous overreach. I think that branding is, I don't know, it is stereotypical. You know, it's
well, and look, that one's been controversial for a long time.
You know,
I mean, that's not a new thing.
Look, I've ranted and raved for the last couple of weeks about the left overreaching on all sorts of things I think are preposterous. And the Mike Gundy thing, I sort of put on that list.
Yeah, I think it's okay to take things by a case-by-case basis. If people were pissed about the Indian on the Land O'Lakes butter, like, fine. If you want to get rid of it, like, fine. If you're the company and you don't want to deal with any blowback, fine. Like, I really don't care about that. But in this guy's particular case, and granted, we've all kind of collectively admitted, I hadn't even heard of this OAN until the last couple of days. But even if it is just like a real kooky network, kind of like InfoWars and Alex Jones, and he just had a T-shirt on because he was out fishing and he's kind of into it, like, his life shouldn't be ruined because of that.
It's ridiculous. But Aunt Jemima, I don't mind them changing that. I think that...
Why?
I'm sorry, Harry. Well, go ahead.
Well, the only reason was I was brought up with that brand.
I understand.
I looked at her as a grandmother.
Okay,
and
yeah,
but I didn't see color. I didn't see color.
You're also brought up with a lot of other crap that, you know, is not appropriate now.
Well, I guess so. And as far as Kyrie Irving's concerned, when it came to him, you know, he's just someone who thinks he's better than everybody else. But the bottom line with him and this thing with Thanksgiving is, if you look up Thanksgiving, I don't know if he was saying this or was trying to report this, but that Thanksgiving was pretty violent. But the problem with him is he doesn't explain himself. He just comes out as a condescending, you know, elitist, where he'll say something but have no explanation for it.
Well,
and if he ever wanted to get into detail and talk about it and become a spokesman for something, not after a Celtics game, but during the convention, or go to a convention and talk about these things, that's one thing. But that's my point on Kyrie Irving.
Okay, it's just a diarrhea of the mouth, and he says too much, and it gets lost, and he gets in trouble when he talks too much. All of that. I just think his statement yesterday went way too far, to the point where you lose the real message in there, and you sort of lose the people who would normally support you when you start equating going to Orlando to play NBA basketball with slavery, which is just like preposterous. But that's Kyrie.
He's such a whack job.
I just think, look, you know, the caller said that Kyrie thinks he's better than everybody else. I think Kyrie thinks he's smarter than everybody else. And he's yet to master the three most important words in the English language, which are "I don't know." Those are the most important words. Kyrie knows everything. So I just, you know, to me, he loves to come off smarter than he is. And the more he talks, the more you realize how stupid he is. So I'd like to thank him for exposing himself. But the guy comes off as just a complete, you know, blowhard. God, does he love to talk.
But again, just completely unfair to not just Adam Silver, but his union leadership that worked hard on that proposal, gave him a voice in that proposal every step of the way. Whether he took advantage of that or not, you don't know. Was he there for the calls? Was he there for the meetings? Did he show up? You don't even know that, but he had a chance to. He is a union vice president, not the union vice president. I don't know why people keep pointing this out to me. He's like one of seven or eight vice presidents. Yes, got it. Said it like 14 times. But he is a union vice president, and he had a chance to craft that agreement himself. And instead, he turns around after it's been ratified for 2 weeks and say that it has racial implications or what? That's just blatantly unfair to those people. Jonathan in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hi. Who do you think is the bigger idiot, Kyrie Irving or Rob Manfred? Thank you. Have a good one.
Okay. Well, there's a question for you, Maz. Who do you vote?
Oh, Kyrie. Kyrie's definitely the bigger idiot. I mean, say what you will about Manfred, but he, you know, Manfred is pretty smart. He says some stupid things. Kyrie's not anywhere as smart as he thinks he is.
Yeah.
To me, it's Kyrie in a runaway.
Manfred might be shady, but I know he's not a pill who once walked into a team meeting and asked, not anything about the opponent that night, what plays we going to run, but what does government mean to you? Oh, God, he's just the worst kind of person. Like, cool, man. Like, I get it. You got things, and you got all these crazy thoughts, and you're into numerology. Can we just focus on the task at hand and do our work? What does government mean to you? Oh, Jesus. Like, he's just the worst.
Want to hear Kendrick Perkins go into him again, Maz?
Oh, my God, yes, please. This is the greatest line ever. Well, this is the... We got to keep this as a drop. This is the greatest line ever.
You will hear it right after these words.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Listen, Greeny, if you take Kyrie Irving's brain and put it in a bird right now, guess what that bird is going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to fly backwards. Because Kyrie right now, he's confused. He's showing his lack of leadership. Here it is. Kyrie, you have been on these conference calls over the last 2 months. You're the vice president of the Players Association. You have been very involved in all this that has been taking place for us, whether or not we're going to play or not. And you have been on the phone and you have voted to play.
And then he turns around when he can't go and lumps it into a conversation with 500 years of oppression. What a guy. But you like that line, Maz, huh?
It's just so perfect. It's like, what's the bird going to do if you put Kyrie's brain in it? Fly backwards. I do. I love that. That is so perfect. That's exactly right, because he's got it all ass backwards. Mr. Smarty Pants, he's a dope. He is. He's a dope. There's nothing worse than someone who thinks they're smarter than they are. And I offer us up as candidates for that award, by the way, so I'm not excluding us. But Kyrie is the epitome of that. He's the embodiment of it. The perfect guy for it. He thinks he is so smart, and he really ain't that bright.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on that. Major League Baseball and their latest proposal. For example, Carl in Grafton, that's what he wants to talk about. Go ahead, Carl.
Hey, Felger, Maz Murray. Good to talk to you guys. I wanted to know what Maz thought about the proposal. I mean, I do anything to get him on the field, and I feel kind of desperate about it. I've called a lot about, Maz's wish for the disposal of the game, but I do want to, or the death of the game, but I want to see it. And I just want to know what he thinks
let's just find out what he thinks. Maz, you think we're close? You think this is happening? You think this is legit?
I mean, it feels like there's momentum going that way. And look, as soon as I saw and I think it was John Heyman who first tweeted it out, that as soon as I saw that they were meeting, Clark and Manfred were in Arizona the first time they were having a face-to-face meeting in a long time, I thought, they're going to make a deal. Like, this is enough of the bullcrap. We're actually going to sit down, which leads me to the question of why did this happen a long time ago? Why did we have to have all the posturing and all the bickering and all the public relations games back and forth and all the nonsense before we actually got a deal? Well, and the answer is because this is what baseball does. This is what the answer is.
Yeah, they didn't do anything quickly.
No, never. And so do I think they're headed towards a deal? It does feel that way. Again, now the report's out there that some people think they're going to end up at 65 games. It felt to me like, you know, all of a sudden they agree on 60. That didn't feel right. It just felt to me like there was another move coming. So maybe it's 65. I'm okay with a short schedule. But if this is again, let me make this clear. I have mixed emotions about this because I think the product now sucks. Okay? The product sucks. So if they could kill the sport temporarily and then bring it back as another version that's a better product, I'm in. I don't know that that's going to happen. So deep down, do I really want the sport to die? No, I don't. I'd like it to get better. I think that putting it in a coma is a way to bring it back and be better. But ultimately, if they play, of course I'm happy. Yes, I want to see games.
Well, you want it to be reborn. Okay, and so yes. Maybe for it to be reborn, it has to die. Like that's we all understand that.
But Mike, I want to make this part clear because I'm not unrealistic about this. Baseball's heyday is gone in Boston and everywhere else. It's gone. It's never going to be what it was. But the product that they have has to get better. The product that they have stinks. And so to me, and that's a good way to put it, but football is going to dominate now for a long, long time. It's just, it's too perfect for the way we live.
Well, I mean, let me give you an answer, though, why it may have taken so long, like a real practical reason. The owners never wanted a long season, and this has just been one long delay tactic by Manfred and the owners.
Sure.
They've just carried on like this, no interest in striking a deal, because what made sense for them from the start was a short season. So the longer we wait, the shorter our window. We can take the bad PR, won't be the first time. And at the end of the day, we'll give them 60 games, and that will sound like a concession, when the fact is, that number works for us. And maybe that's what's been going on from the start.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to believe anything but that, because, again, they didn't want to play a lot of games. And you're seeing reports out there that there are anywhere from 6 to 8 teams, let's call it 8, which is a quarter of the league, or even a little bit more, that didn't want to play at all. And to appease that group of owners, they probably had to stretch this thing out and milk it a little bit. Because, look, I did the math. 60 games is 37% of the schedule. Right. So they're coming in a little heavier than they were in terms of the money they're going to be paying out to the players. But I don't think we're ever going to see anything close to 80 games.
Harry on Cape Cod on the NBA bubble. Hi, Harry.
Hey, this might be the best thing that ever happened for NBA play, because you're going to get one of these guys that's going to have something in his carry on. He's going to get down there and he's going to be exercising. He's going to be doing his thing. He's by himself. He's isolated. He's going to play good ball because he's going to represent himself in front of the rest of the people that play ball. You're going to see some team that's going to play some great basketball because the conditions the players, they're going to participate in. So there's not going to be so many distractions. Well, there's going to be some team that's going to be great, I think.
Harry, I hope you're right. You know, I'd like to think that these are competitive guys who've worked their ass off to get to where they are. Now they have a chance to win an NBA championship, probably a better chance than if all things were equal and the fans were in the buildings and they were traveling around. So there's going to be more teams who think they have a chance. Those guys are going to be down there who are committed and driven, and it's going to be good ball. The whole of the flip side is that the league's going to go down there and say, this is ridiculous. All this quarantining and nasal swabs, and we can't play cards, and I got to keep 6 feet. I can't talk to another guy in a hotel, and this is stupid, and we have no chance, and so I'm going to mail it in. There's a chance of that as well.
Yeah, there was a quote from one of these stories in the last week or so that there was unnamed executives or owners that said that's a concern. If there's a team that's down a few games in a playoff series, that they just look at it and say, oh, the hell with this.
Well, especially, I know what you're talking about. Others have pointed this out as well. It's, you know, you go down 2-0 in an NBA playoff series on the road, that's still a series.
Yeah.
It's like, right. You know, all right, you've just held serve, and now we're going to serve, and we'll win our home games, and then we'll have a three-game series, and that's just...
You're going to get the bump from the crowd.
Right, how it feels. And the refs, you know, you go down 2-0, that game three back at home, like, you get the refs, you get the crowd. That's, you know, sort of an automatic spot for a lot of these playoff series. Well, that's out the window now. Like, you don't get that. And so maybe a team that goes down 2-0 in this environment says, well, this is a real 2-0, and we're not going to win. And, you know, games three and games four don't have that same competitiveness.
Yeah, and
that's possible.
The product will suffer. If you're going to get that, it's going to be like...
So, look, I mean, this is why, again, I think the teams that give a crap and are actually committed are going to have a massive advantage, because the Bucks, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Celtics should be on this list. If they're down 2-0, it should be balls to the wall. And it should be.
There really is an unbelievable opportunity for Stevens to sell his players on this. For all the reasons you just said. I mean, you sit down with your roster and you sit down with your team the first time you get them together. You say, guys, let's understand what's at stake here. Okay, if we go down and play, and these conditions are tough, but because they're tough, a lot of people aren't going to be able to hack it. They're going to quit early. So if we get off to good starts in these series and we take care of ourselves and we play by the rules and we don't go out and we stay quarantined, you can get a title out of this. You can steal a title out of this. And no matter what anybody says, it goes in there forever and that's it. And I mean, that's how I would sell it to him if I were Stevens.
But you're right, though, about how it's going to break down by hotel. You know, the Yacht Club with all those scrubby teams, the Blazers, Animal House.
That's a party boat.
Yeah, Delta House, right? You know, that's a toga. Toga parties at the Yacht Club. And then the Grand Destino with all the real teams, the Bucks, Lakers, Clippers. You know, that's going to be, they're going to be on best behavior, I'd like to think. You know, they're going to keep it clean there because they got something at stake. And the Grand Floridian, who knows? You know, but that Yacht Club, oof.
Oh, yeah. Lake of the Ozarks. That's what that's going to be. That is going to be one big spring break orgy, that hotel.
That's where it's all going down. That's where you want to go to get your yayas out, the Yacht Club. One more segment of your amazing phone calls, I promise. Right back to you after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
A great show.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
All right, wrapping up with your phone calls, our buddy Tom and Quincy. What's your thought on the latest MLB proposal?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I saw that proposal like a couple hours ago. Someone sent a text to me. And listen, at this point, I'll take the 60, man. I'll take the 60. Because listen, I've been calling you guys for a couple years now, and the majority of my calls have been about baseball, right? And, you know, and I'm not some 70-year-old dude or anything like that. I'm way out of the demo, Mike. But I'll take the 60 games because a couple things I've taken out of this without being able to call you guys and piss all over the Sox bullpen like I tend to do. I've had to call in and constantly talk about the labor back and forth crap with the money. And to me, it's like there's nothing more boring to me than that because it just seems like they were going down and meeting at this particular point for the few months that we've been talking about it. So the couple things that have come out of this thing now is – it's made me dislike a lot of players in the league that I never really had an opinion about before. You know, I despise that Twitch thing, which I've never heard of. And I can't ever unhear Blake Snell's voice or comments or Harper's response to those comments. I need baseball to come back so I can get back to some sort of normalcy in my sports living routine that I can actually come home, throw you guys on, have a few beers, and piss about the Red Sox bullpen. I need that to happen to me now.
Me too. I agree, Tom. And for all of our bitching about baseball and my bitching about baseball, you've never heard me say they've lost me, I won't watch. I will watch. I will watch the second they come back. I will invest the second they come back. Now, do I sit there for all 3-4 hours? Who can do that anymore? But, you know, I will quote unquote watch and keep tabs on the sport, and I want it as bad as anyone, for sure. But they still blew the opportunity. My God, they should have been back on July 4th. And now their proposal today is July 19th or 20th, which means they'll have the stage to themselves if they say yes, which you know they won't. You know this is going to drag out. But, you know, all things being equal, if they get back on the 20th, they'll have the stage to themselves for 2 weeks, maybe. Maybe 2 weeks, maybe 10 days, something like that, before hockey and basketball start playing. Not enough. And by that, and by this point, we're so pissed off at them. Again, we're still going to watch. We'll have it on. But they really did blow an opportunity.
But if they do come back, the hate won't be, you know, so that's a diehard baseball fan. And he's right, though, because if they don't get this figured out, think of all the things that you'll still have in your mind next year when they do come back. It'll still be festering. Blake Snell, the Twitch nonsense, that they could never get this figured out when they've really, they're the sport designed to come back. It's all, you know, think of it just from a spatial aspect. Baseball should already be, you know, ramping up and getting ready to actually play real games. And all it is bitch, 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 bitch. And that will kill them. It really will.
Oh, they whiffed. They whiffed. And look, the fact, though, that they're talking about July 19th or somewhere thereabouts as a return should tell you to me how close they are to a deal. Because they've said all along that it's going to take a 3-week spring training.
That's right.
Well, July 19th is only a month away. So if that's now leaking out that they're looking starting a July 19th, that means they expect guys to be reporting, you know, probably by the weekend or the beginning of the next week.
You know, just one quibble. The hell was this?
The hell was
you
that?
See that?
I thought we were having like a...
That's our cleaner. So shelving just collapsed in our...
kitchen?
In our little calf there. Yeah, our little kitchen. The whole thing just went down. That was weird. How about them apples? All right, sorry. What the hell was I saying? I usually don't get distracted like that, but that was...
Yeah, that thing, was pretty jarring.
That just came with... Did we just have an earthquake or something?
I don't know. That was very weird.
That was something that would happen if there was a tremor.
Baseball return, people angry.
Baseball return. Oh, 60 games in 70 days? Why are we taking 10 off days after we've just had 4 months off?
Good question.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, good question. That's too many. So now, look, again, maybe they knew that, you know, maybe it's going to be 65 games in 70 days, and they're not going to change the days. So maybe they built in a little wiggle room there because they knew they were going to move. I don't know, Mike. I don't have the answer for you, but they don't need 10 off days in a 60-game season. They don't, unless, you know, they're trying to build in extra days for pitchers or something like that. But honestly, they shouldn't even be doing that.
Come on. You know, we've just had 4 months sitting on our arses. Whitaker in Florida on the NBA bubble. Hi, Whitaker.
Hey, this is Whitaker down in Davie, Florida.
Okay.
The Celtics were hosed. They definitely have the worst hotel. I stayed there 6 months ago when it opened. It's a Mexican-themed a hotel. Now, they built a 20-story tower where they're staying in. It's, they call it the Gran Torino. The food is horrible there.
Okay,
it's
so let me ask you.
A night.
How come the best teams are there? Why would are there more rooms there? Is it bigger?
No, No, listen, I'm telling you right now, I've been going there for 47 years, an annual pass holder. The best one out of the three there is the Yacht Club. It's a Cape Cod themed one, good restaurants. And then I know Murray didn't like the other one, the Grand Floridian, but it's got the best restaurant. There's a 4-star, 5-diamond.
Whitaker, let me just tell you something, buddy. It all blows.
Yeah.
It all blows. It all sucks. It's all the worst. It is my least happiest place on earth.
I hate
despise
Disney.
It. Oh. Despise it. Despise it.
And the food's terrible everywhere, dude. I'm sorry. It's like it blows. No matter where you're going. Oh, it's a 4-star restaurant. It's not.
I've done my time. I've got 2 daughters. Took them each whenever they were 6 or 7 or 8. Whatever it was, we did it. And now I'm done. I'm out. I'm not going back. I don't have to go back. It's over. The whole thing blows. But there's got to be a reason that the good teams are in the Destino versus the Grand Floridian.
It's the newest. I've posted up, so I retweeted someone that had some photos of it. It kind of, at least in the foyer, it looks like the Encore. It looks like a casino type hotel.
I'm just telling you, I think they're all going to hate it. I think they're all going to hate their accommodations. John and Sutton on the bubble. Hi, John.
Hi. So you guys don't know about Disney World. You're going there as a tourist. I go there as a business person. They have some of the greatest food in the world. You can have unbelievable sushi, anything you want. They have the best of. It's available. You just guys don't get it because whatever. You're going there as a tourist.
I don't care about food. I don't care about food. I don't care. If I'm going to work and win an NBA championship, I don't care about the food. It'd be good. I like good food. I'll eat good food. I don't care. But I'm not one of these, oh, my God, the food people. And I know you're one, Murray, I don't mean to yell at you, but like...
I like good food.
But like to the point where they have good food. Should I go? They don't have good food. I'm not going to go. They have good food. How's the food? I don't give a crap. Eat the food. Continue on with your day. That's sort of me. It's one of the things that get me from point A to point B. I would prefer good food over bad food, but... You know what? It's not going to influence me. Not when I get it's a work trip and you're going down to win an NBA championship. Good food, bad food, just nourish me and let's go. Like, that's how I would feel about the thing.
You know, I'm chuckling over here for the last few minutes because, Murray, what was it you said? Why would they get that hotel over another? I mean, it looks a little newer. Is that what you said?
Yeah, yeah.
I come back to the hookers thing. Maybe one of them has hookers and the other two don't. Like, I don't know. And I'm just trying to tell you that the pro athlete, probably not totally averse to a hooker.
Lars in North Attleboro on the return of baseball. Hi, Lars.
Hey, listen, guys, I'm going to miss baseball as well. But I got to tell you, when hockey and basketball both come back, they roll right into the playoffs. And then it's baseball for a measly 50 games. I'm with the Bruins first and the Celts. And 6 weeks later, we've got football. It's paradise right there. And Maz, one last thing on Kyrie. He's a noologist. Thanks, guys.
Okay, the noologist, is that what he said?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
The thing about baseball will get buried, I think. You know, I mean, that 2 weeks when it's alone, great. You know, all in. But when the other stuff starts, it's going to take a distant, you know, third seat, fourth seat when football starts.
Oh, it's going to get walloped. Walloped. Again, it's bad enough when the fall hits for baseball. I mean, typically then they have pennant races and whatnot, so certainly in the playoffs people are a little more dialed in, but they don't typically have the NBA postseason, the NHL postseason, or stretch runs. And they certainly, you know, to me, they certainly don't have everything all at once with, if you want to add in all the other sports that got delayed plus football. I think baseball is going to get absolutely slaughtered this fall.
Did you never have to take your kids to Disney, Mass?
So I did not go on the trip. My wife took my kids both times.
Oh, that's so good.
Wow. How do you skate for
awesome.
That
is.
She did. So they went during April vacation, I think, both times, and we were in the spring book.
Yeah.
So we got out of it that way.
I got to work. Someone's got to make you go. Go. The happiest place on earth.
Yeah, like we were in the spring rating period, and so my wife said, "You know what? It's probably easier if I do it alone anyway." And I said, "Amen to that."
Oh my God, where were you when I needed you? I wish the wood would have fallen for that one. No,
of course, it had to go to Universal, and that was essentially the same thing. It was absolute death on foot.
Well, so I don't know why we have to go there then. You check the box, Daddy. I want to go to Disney World. Okay, fine. We'll effing go. Okay, boom, done. Checked off the list. Now we don't have to go back. Like, now I don't go back because we have to go to Universal. Like, I've done my time.
I'm just telling you that it was, got hyped up by other kids, and that one I went on.
Derek in the car on baseball. Hi, Derek.
Hey, guys. How are you? Serious question. I love baseball. I hate the MLB. Mass, do you think an alternative league like they talk about for football and basketball is a viable option, and why and why not? Thanks.
So, you know what? I want to laugh, but I don't. Could that be our answer? What if someone took on Major League Baseball with a pitch clock, with a tight product, with taking out all the crap that everyone hates about MLB, and you start a new league, and maybe it's, 4A players, but it's our sport back. I never thought it. I normally I would laugh at that, but I don't know.
So it's an interesting question. The only thing, this only popped into my head because I read it again the other day, baseball is the only sport with an antitrust exemption, right? So, and I'm only asking because does that at all factor in the fact that they have, would they be able to prevent any other league from coming into existence?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, there's no other league that I want another league, I take that back. I would like I love the USFL. I keep telling you this. I would take, good, real pro spring football league. I think that's cool. But other than that, I don't think the other leagues are in such a state that they need a challenge.
Or anything, yeah.
Baseball does.
Yeah,
the MLB, that group of owners and players need a challenge, a competition. We need an alternative from them. I don't need an alternative from any of these other leagues. I need an alternative from them, and I never thought of it. It'd be a neat trick if someone could pull that off. John in New Hampshire, final word on baseball. Go.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Am I on the radio?
You are.
Hey, guys. Hope everything is going well.
my only thought process on this with the baseball is that, you know, listening to Bruce Springsteen, Glory Days and stuff, I'm 56. I played baseball all through my high school. I wish I was good enough to play in the league. So it's so weird that these guys, if they don't have the love to get over the greed to play the game, just to play, it you know, because all of us had so many dreams, and I know Felger and Maz, I know you guys played, and I maybe Jimmy did too, or both Jimmys. But well,
so Maz is the only one who played.
Right, I played like Little League.
I was, you know, once I moved the mound back and I had to go out of the stretch, that was it for my baseball career. And Maz played all the way to Tufts, star second baseman for the Tufts JV.
Well, I would use the term played very loosely, and I certainly was not a star, I'll tell you that.
Anyway,
so I played 2 years JV at a Division III college. That was it.
Okay, so you can rag on the players for not having the love of the game. How about the owners that don't want to play? Because there's at least a half dozen owners who don't want to play. And I would say the same thing about them. Why are you in this? Do you not love the game? Are you not obsessed with the game? Does it not take a piece out of you every time you wake up and you don't see your team on the field? And I get the sense there's a bunch of owners who don't feel that way. It's just another holding form. And those people disgust me just as bit as much as the players that don't have the passion to play.
So this is one that I always fear, where the players do get the short end of the stick. Like, it's always, you know, the love of the game. Okay, first of all, as you just pointed out, the owners are every bit at fault here as the players are. Okay, I think we all agree on that. Here's the other thing. How come we never hear that with Kyrie Irving and the love of the game? Why isn't Kyrie Irving playing for the – why is it only baseball that has to play for the love of the game? Like, that one I've never understood. I mean, if you're an a-hole, you're an a-hole, whether you're dribbling a ball or trying to hit one out of the ballpark. What's it? What? Who hasn't played pickup basketball or shot hoops in the driveway? Everyone's done that. So that one, to me, I do feel like the baseball players get skewered more than anyone else.
Murray, did we have a tremor? Did you Google Boston earthquake?
Yeah, I didn't see anything pop up, but we certainly had one in the building.
That thing went down for no – it was just
– or it's just poor engineering.
Shelving, but why would it go down?
I don't know.
The whole set of shelving just detached from the wall and came off. So go figure that.
Feels like a job for the tool bags to fix. That's what it feels like for me.
It's a sign for something. A final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town
Nobody.
Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody, Mark.
Nope. So the first hour was very Brady-centric, as Colin Coward of FS1 was talking about what the numbers could be for the new Bucks quarterback next year. And that conversation led to our first call, which was rather bitchy, from Bill in Amesbury.
Bill in Amesbury, lead us off today. Go ahead, Bill.
All right. Tell me, I mean, the infatuation with Tom Brady. I mean, he's gone. So why do we care? Why do we care whatever he's going to put down in Tampa Bay? I could care less about him anymore now that he's not on this team. I want to see what we're going to do here and let him do what he's going to do down there. And you know what? I think he's going to he's not going to reach any of the expectations that you've just been touting in the last few minutes. There's no way.
Okay, so I would say this, Bill. Love you, mean it. But if you don't want to hear about Brady, we are not the show for you, because this is going to be 98.5 The Brady Hub for the next 2 years. So we are going to take Tom Brady and we're going to dangle it on your chin. We're going to dangle Tom Brady's on your chin for about 2 years.
I just find it so disingenuous, too, that after 20 years and all the success, like, I don't want to hear it. I've moved on. I don't care. You care, and you're lying. And let me sum up that phone call like this. Wah.
But I mean,
I don't know, really. I mean, I would much rather talk about Brian Hoyer than Brady. I don't know about you guys, but Hoyer, to me, what a topic he is.
I'm not going to dismiss. Maybe he feels that way. I'm just saying, if you really do feel that way, why are we talking about we're just not the show for you.
I'd rather talk about Brady's dirty socks than talk about Brian Hoyer.
So I hate to break it to you. We're talking about Hoyer, too.
I thought it was funny that you said, well, hold on, guys. No, like, we're going to still talk about Hoyer.
We're going to talk about you and your crappy quarterbacks 24-7, believe me. But Brady's on the table.
Well, we have calls like that. Thankfully, we also have calls from Guy in Boston.
Our buddy Guy's in Boston. Hi, Guy. Hi, Guy.
Hey, listen, Mike. He went there for one reason, to win the Super Bowl and tuck it to the a-hole. And this is for Maz. As far as baseball, let me tell you, the last time it was fun to go to the park is to go see Jimmy Pearsall take a whiz in the outfield. Thank you.
You're welcome. Pearsall took a whiz in the outfield?
Probably. I mean, he had a reputation for being a little batty for, like, you know, I think he had some sort of disorder, if I remember. I know he had a disorder. I don't remember which one it was.
Okay, but one that caused him to go to the bathroom in the outfield.
Yeah, he ran the bases backwards once. Yeah. Like, he did all kinds. He was a little off-center.
What do you call that disorder, that you relieve yourself in left field?
You got to go. Itis. But, Mass, right. didn't he like, flip out after he got beaned? And he tried to, like, climb the wall or something
Yeah, they had a movie after him, right?
Yeah, right. Fear Strikes Out. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah,
again, he had an anxiety disorder. And so he was a character for sure. I don't know all the particular stories, Murray. I know the famous one about him is, I think he hit his 100th home run and then ran the bases backwards. And MLB then put in a rule that you couldn't run the bases.
of course they did
because it was fun.
It was fun.
People actually liked it. All right,
heaven forbid they have fun. That's right.
Felger and Maz, the program returns tomorrow at 2 p.m. Maz, Murray, Stu, Lanny. We'll talk to everyone later.
See you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.